This past Lent, we shared together a very robust and invigorating faith study series that was called Jesus Before Christianity. And it was our original intent to look back through the records, through the writings, through the history to see what we could find of Jesus before Christianity got a hold of the story. That was our original intent. What ultimately came to be is we found unique power in these old stories. No matter what we could prove or not prove, we found power in these old stories that we believed continued to speak to us in our day and time. I picked up that theme last week in my Easter sermon, challenging you, if I may, to become the rest of the resurrection story. We talked about how beautifully Mark just stopped the story and handed it over to us to allow us to be the rest of the resurrection story, and I pushed even a little further to suggest that to believe in resurrection had not only to do with something that happened 2,000 years ago, but it had even more to do with something that is still happening right here, right now. And I would like to stay with that theme, that we might try to figure out, if we believe in resurrection, then who are we to be? So, that's what I'm going to hang out with for the next few weeks. And in that spirit, would you pray with me, please? God, touch our eyes and our ears, our minds and our hearts, so together this day we might see and hear and truly believe in this amazing possibility of resurrection, of new life, of more being possible. Help us to believe not just with ideas and thoughts and feelings and speech, but help us to believe with the very living of our lives. All this we pray in the name of the risen Christ Jesus. Amen. About a year, little more than a year ago, Jill and I had an amazing opportunity to go visit our son Caleb and his girlfriend Mathilde in Paris. You remember, we had a Paris vacation because that's all we could talk about a month when we got back. And it was a wonderful time. And while we were there, Caleb and Mathilde worked every day. So Jill and I were on our own to explore. And sometimes they set up things for us to do. And sometimes we just wandered around. We, on one particular day, had the privilege to go see Sacré-Cœur, which is a beautiful cathedral at the top of the hill in Montmartre region in Paris. And we had a great morning, and we were coming down the hill and just probably looking for a good cup of café, and there was this little sign that simply said, Salvador Dali. And it had an arrow down a little alley. I'm kind of an art guy, and why not go to a Salvador Dali museum when you're in Paris? And I said, can we go, Jill? And she said, of course. And we wandered down, and there was Dali Paris, which is a beautiful museum dedicated to his work. Now, I don't know if you know Salvador Dali, and I don't know if you know him, whether you can stand him, because there are people who have, he gets very mixed reviews. Let me say that about Salvador Dali. Some people find his work at best confusing, and at worst disturbing. He is a surrealist, which means that lots of his art doesn't immediately make sense. His most famous image is of melting clocks that challenge our notion of time, and we got to see several of those in this beautiful museum. So surrealism is a movement from the early 20th century. Dali was born in Spain and trained there for a while and then went to Paris and became part of this surrealist movement. And surrealism grows out of the terrible tragedy of World War I. Some philosophers and psychologists and poets and artists felt like, after World War I and the utter tragedy that had been experienced by the world, in order to try to deal with it, people narrowed their frame of reference in order to try to be safer. They became more careful, not only with their actions, but especially with their thinking. And surrealism was the idea that we need more imagination, broader thinking, not less. And the idea is that these images that Dali created, and this museum not only had all these unusual works of art, but there was always an explanation, a writing by him about what he was trying to portray, how he's trying, and I loved that. I read them all. We spent a beautiful afternoon with this mind-bending, if I may, artist. And at one point, he said, "I am trying to tap into something deeper so that the world might have more imagination about how to deal with the problems that it faces." More imagination. And I gotta tell you that there I was in Paris looking at crazy art, and this hymn we just sang, dramatic, wasn't it? Thank you, Gene. I really don't need them, but I'll take them back anyway. Thank you. I was poking my book for emphasis. I was in the Dali Museum and I thought about this hymn that we just sang. Open up your hymn book, will you? Look at it again with me. Number 254 in the black. These ideas of Salvador Dali to me are captured in verse 2. I'm going to read it to you, and you're welcome to watch and to look. And we're talking about Thomas now. Thomas is always the story that we tell on the first week after Easter, because we've got to do this believing, unbelieving thing. And we call him, unfortunately, we've called him for 2,000 years, Doubting Thomas. And we kind of make him the, you know, sort of fall guy for all people who don't believe things. But I'm here to remind you, I said this to you last year and probably the year before, Thomas is one of my idols because he's not afraid to ask the hard question and push further. So this is about Thomas, and it suggests this that I'd like you to think about. This is Thomas we're talking about, verse 2, the vision of his skeptic mind was keen enough to make him blind to any unexpected act too large for his small world of fact. Wow. Is it possible that the gift of resurrection is limited in us because we think too small? It gives me chills to think that I am limited to access to a greater power of more of the best things in life because I can't imagine it. That's scary. But it feels right to me that we live in a world that tends to, when we're scared, we reduce. We think less. We make ourselves smaller. We turn in and down and we close off. That's a fear response. And the invitation, I think, with Thomas, with this incredible story, is to think bigger, to lift up our heads and to say, what more is possible? And can I allow my skeptic mind to get out of the way for a minute so I might be able to see more? More hope, more joy, more life. At the end of the reading that Nancy does so beautifully, thank you, Nancy, it says, I've told you this story so that you might come to believe, and in that believing, you might have more life. I think that we are being invited to consider every day how we limit ourselves and our world. If you'll follow me one more time, back to the text, verse 4 really turns us around and becomes a prayer inviting grace to allow us to see things more boldly. Inviting grace, may we, O God, by grace receive, and thus the risen Christ receive, who beckons us, who calls us out of our smallness to be more, to risk more. Interesting, the actual Greek word for doubt never appears in this gospel story. They talk about Thomas as a pistos, the Greek word, which means he is a believer, a non-believer, an unbeliever. And Jesus says, don't be unbelieving, don't shut yourself down, but believe that more is possible and you will find it. Part of believing in the power of resurrection is to believe that some of the things, most of the things, all of the things that trouble us about this world can be healed, can be transformed. We can. And it begins by changing our minds. Now, that's not as simple as it sounds, because our minds are pretty, you know, skeptically closed down. In a minute, I'm going to invite you to this table, the beautiful ritual of communion in which we gather as Christians have been gathering. And what do we ask for? We ask for that Spirit to grant us grace. And it reminds us that we do this together. You don't need to risk being bigger by yourself. Let me be there with you. And you be there with me, and all of us be there together to believe that hope and joy and peace are possible. Don't be unbelieving, but believe, and in your believing, may you find life. Amen.